fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The quest for Qatar will culminate in Africa Tuesday with matches in Senegal, Algeria, Nigeria, Morocco, and Tunisia. When the World Cup qualifying fixtures are complete, five African teams will officially book their tickets to the sport's premier event. Joining us now with a preview of the African World Cup qualifiers is Samson Omale.
The highlights of the matches will be between the 2022 African Cup of Nations winners, the Teranga Lions of Senegal, and the Egyptian Pharaohs. The Egyptians will travel to Dakar with a 1-0 advantage on Tuesday. Cameroon will take on Algeria in another fiery encounter. In the first leg, Algeria rebounded from the group phase African blackout to pull out a 1-0 win over the indomitable Lions at the Japoma Stadium in Douala. Mali will play Tunisia in a tricky tie after the Eagles of Mali suffered a 1-0 defeat in the first leg, which was played on Friday after an own goal by Mali defender Moussa Sissoko, while DR Congo will be up against Morocco. The clash between long-standing rivals Ghana and Nigeria's Super Eagles ended goalless in Kumasi. Tuesday's encounter in Abuja will decide which of the two West African sides will go to Qatar. Interim coach Otto Addo says he does not see Nigeria as favourites going into Tuesday's second leg of their Crunch World Cup playoff.
I think the Nigerians saw that we can play as well. They're not here and we are there. Even though the Africa was not good, I think we matched them up. And they got respect. They have high quality players, but in all, I mean, it was equal. So I don't see them in the favor. Also, the pressure will be on them at home. But you know, away goals can hurt a lot.
For his sport, Super Eagles coach Emmanuel Amuneke is confident the Super Eagles can pull through ahead of booking a place in Qatar.
This is a collective team. Both the public, both the players, both the coaches, we are all in one direction. And what are the directions? We want to go to the Qatar World Cup. We want to win the ticket to the World Cup. So I think everybody understood how important it is for us to be in Qatar.
That's Emmanuel Amunike, Nigerian coach and the 1994 African Footballer of the Year. And thanks to Samson Omale for that report.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori joins us now with a post-match report on the goalless draw between Ghana and Nigeria. Sporty greetings, Kwabena.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Super Eagles of Nigeria and the Black Stars of Ghana played a goalless draw in their first leg playoff encounter of the Qatar 2022 FIFA World Cup. Both teams displayed a class of quality football at the fully packed Babaya Raspo Stadium in Kumasi last Friday. It was a tense game in the first and second half with a couple of goal chances created by both teams, but the scoreline remained goalless at the end of the 90-minute stipulated time. In a post-match press conference, Ghana's head coach Otto Addo expressed confidence in his players and their fighting spirit.
The guys did well. Surely we can do better, but under these circumstances, they followed the plan. Even though we made some mistakes, they still followed the plan. They had good positions. We had good runs. We created our chances, and we started well, I think, the first 30 minutes. And then there was a little break, a little bit of fatigue. We started the second half as well. Well, then again, there was a break, a little bit of fatigue. We couldn't press that good as we wanted to. And that made Nigeria come more. In all, I think it was a deserved draw because Nigeria had one very good chance for the next game. This is what we have to consider, that it shouldn't allow so much counter situations. And all, I think the ball possession was good. We had very, very good plays. We played out well from the back, how I wanted it. So I'm happy. It's just the result.
The Super Eagles head coach, Augustin Eguavoen, gave his comments during the press conference.
Ghana team is not a team you can brush aside with one hand, because it's a very, very good team. I've followed Ghana football nearly all my career. But with the performance they put up today, it was expected. It was expected. But our boys, I'll say congratulations, because they were able to soak up the pressure and then took control of the game in the second half. They were top of their game, but they didn't have any clear-cut chance. But we had two clear-cut chances where it could have been a win, but a draw, I think we're very okay.
Nigerian sports journalist Babatunde, who was at the Babayara Sports Stadium, wished Nigeria could have won the first leg.
The Ghanaian team really, really impressed everybody. And the reason they did so was because coming into this game, they are underdogs. You know, and underdogs would usually want to play. Underdogs usually want to surprise their opponents. Mind you, majority of the boys in this team are debutants. You know, so they felt like this is the biggest game of their life, and they need to give it their all. The Ajax midfielder Kudus was quite impressive. Whenever he gets the ball, then our Super Eagles players begin to shake, because he's swift and he has some speed. You know, so this team shows that the future for the Black Stars is bright.
The second leg of the playoff will take place at the Moshood Abdullah Stadium in Abuja this Tuesday, March 29, and the winner, be it Ghana or Nigeria, grabs the ticket to the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori reporting.
Thanks, Kwabena. For more on the Nigeria versus Ghana World Cup qualifying playoff, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the chief football writer at aclsports.com. Fisayo Dairo.
The game for me was none less than we expected. It was a derby game between two arch rivals who have the ambition of representing Africa at the FIFA World Cup finals. So it could be not as pleasing as fans wanted it to be, but the rivalry element and the World Cup significance means that the players will literally take the games as if it's a battlefield. That's why sometimes it's deprived of the exciting and anxious moments, but instead we had the feistiness and the tackles, the crunchy ones flying over and all over the places. So yes, it was a competitive game. That was the kind of thing we expected. The passion of fans at the stadium was also something worthwhile to see. The both team, both sets of players really did their best to give good accounts of themselves, but in the end they were inseparable. And of course, there's still the second installment to come up in Abuja on Tuesday. Having said that, it ended goalless. Of course, both teams can always look forward to correcting their mistakes and also doing the business when it matters most on Tuesday.
What were some of the highlights of the game between the Black Stars of Ghana and Super Eagles of Nigeria played in Kumasi?
In all fairness, there were not many highlights in a game, and that's most typical of a goalless game. But I'm sure Ghanaians will be delighted with the performance of players like youngsters Mohamed Kudus, who was exciting, especially in the second half, and went close to scoring, but was denied by the Nigerian goalkeeper, Francis Uzoh, who I think is also one of the shining lights of the Nigerian side. In the absence of the first-choice goalkeeper, Maduka Okoye, Uzoh did very well in goal, commanded his area very well, and reposed some confidence in his ability to many Nigerians. And that leaves a question hanging that when Okoye returns after his illness, will he still be able to wrestle back the first-choice goalkeeping slot from the goalkeeper? That aside, we also have decent performances from the Ghanaian right-back Dennis Odoi and also the Nigerian centre-back Leon Balogu, who is based in Scotland with Glasgow Rangers. And these are some of the highlights and of the pitch. The stadium was filled to capacity, in fact, over capacity. Ghanaian fans showed their passion at the very highest level. There was no dull moments in between, in the midst of the fans all through, and these were worthy takeaways from that particular game.
The second game between Nigeria and Ghana will come up in Abuja on Tuesday. What are your expectations?
The game in Abuja on Tuesday is no doubt going to be a decisive one because it's a winner takes all. The first leg ended in a stalemate, and in the second leg, you know that whoever wins take it. And the Ghanaians have a little bit of advantage in the sense that away goals do count in Africa. So if they get a score draw, they progress. They've not been at the World Cup since 2014, while Nigeria have been at every World Cup final since 2010. So the Ghanaians want to come to Abuja to want to wrestle that slot, because you can't deny the fact that the onus is now on Nigeria because they are hosting, playing in Abuja for the first time in 8 years. But for me, what I'm expecting is a better game than we had in Accra, in Kumasi. I think the game in Kumasi was too tactical and too physical for my liking. But in Abuja, both teams will surely want to express themselves more. They want to break down each other more and want to create scoring chances to take the game. I wouldn't go into prediction, maybe because I might be sentimental, but definitely I expect a more enjoyable game. Both teams are blessed with talents, attacking talents. You know, the Ghanaians from Fatawu to Jordan Ayew to Mohamed Kudus and Afena Jan. I have Nigeria as well, from Moses Simon to Victor Osimhen and the likes of Ademola Lookman, Emmanuel Dennis. Lots and lots of attackers will be on parade, and that should make for an exciting viewing on Tuesday.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta says the U.S. men's national soccer team is on the verge of qualifying for the World Cup after a big victory over Panama in the southern U.S. city of Orlando, Florida. Sporty greetings, Prince!
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Chelsea playmaker Christian Pulisic scored a hat-trick as the U.S. men's national team thrashed Panama 5-1 in the World Cup qualifier match played at the Explorer Stadium in Orlando, Florida. Paul Viola and Jesus Ferreira also scored a goal each for the American team, which will still look to clinch a spot in Qatar when they face Costa Rica on Wednesday. Winger Paulo Riola shared his thoughts on the win.
We really try to just focus on ourselves. That's number one that we always try and do, is just focus on ourselves. We play a certain way. We know what we need to do. We have the next man mentality up. Today it was great. We used the energy of the fans, playing at home, enjoying ourselves, a lot of intensity, being on the same page with one another. All those things were keys to our success today. And secondly, I said it before we went to Mexico, the mentality of this group is unbelievable. The way that we think and the way that we believe that we can go anywhere and beat anyone. We're going to continue that. We know that the job's not done. And when we go down to Costa Rica, we're going to look to win that game.
U.S. men's national team head coach Greg Berhalter also celebrated his team's victory.
The group needed to respond. And when I look at the effort and intensity of the first half and the level that we were playing at, it was really impressive. You can see exactly what the guys took on and their motivation to get back to the World Cup. We scored 5 goals in the game. I think we could have had more if we were a little bit more clinical at times. But we made a big step towards our goal of qualifying for the World Cup. We know we're not there yet, despite what that banner might have said. We know we still have a game to go. And it's a difficult game in Costa Rica. So our job right now is to recover, do regeneration, and then the healthy guys, fit guys, get them on the field and go compete in San Jose, where we've never won before.
That was U.S. Men's National Team head coach Greg Berhalter speaking following the U.S. Men's National Team's win against Panama. Despite their 1-0 loss to Costa Rica on Thursday, Canada punched their ticket to the 2022 FIFA World Cup after cruising to a 4-0 win over Jamaica in a match that was played in front of a sellout crowd at BMO Field in Toronto, Canada. Cy Lowrin, Tehon Buchanan, Junior Hoylett and Adrian Mariapo's own goal ensured Canada qualified for the football showpiece for the first time since 1986. During the 1986 appearance in Mexico, Canada finished bottom of their group without scoring. Here's their coach, John Herdman, on clinching a World Cup spot.
Oh, my God. You know what? You can play in a Champions League final. Canadians can play for Bayern Munich. And now they're going to World Cups. Canada is a football nation, man. We better believe it. And we're going to keep coming. We've only got started. Ah, look, I'm just happy for these lads. You know, when I first took over and I said we're going to go into a World Cup, we'll qualify, I don't think they believed us. And I'm happy for them because all of these fans, they've waited, and they've hung in with us, and we're going.
Canadian defender Alistair Johnson also reacted to his team's performance.
Yeah, this is a Canadian heritage moment. That's what it is. You know, it's something that you dreamed of since a child. It's amazing that we finally got over the line. You know, it's one of those ones that we've been thinking about it. It's been in the back of our minds, but to finally get it done, you know, to really realize we are going, we booked our ticket. It's something, you know, it's hard to really put into words at this exact moment, but the whole group's just so excited. We're so excited for this country, too. I mean, just the energy that we felt, it's been unbelievable, the support, and we can only imagine it's going to get bigger. So, you know, it's just a great feeling.
Four-time world champions Italy are set to miss the World Cup for the second straight time after suffering a 1-0 qualifying playoff round upset at the hands of North Macedonia. Alexander Trajkovski's 92nd-minute turner ensured North Macedonia booked a date against Portugal in the playoff final scheduled to be held on Tuesday. The Azzurri manager Roberto Mancini took full responsibility for the loss, saying, and I quote, "I am the coach. I'm the first responsible. The boys are not. They have a great future. They are strong players for the future of the national team. We did not deserve this defeat." End of quote. The loss comes as a shock for the Italian football team after having won the 2020 European Championships last summer against England at Wembley. In other international friendlies, Germany defeated Israel 2-0, courtesy of goals from Chelsea stars Kai Havertz and Timo Werner, while Danish soccer star Christian Eriksen enjoyed a dream return for Denmark, scoring 2 minutes after coming on as a substitute in the eventual 4-2 loss against the Netherlands. Eriksen had not played for Denmark since the Euro 2020 opener against Finland last June, where he collapsed after suffering cardiac arrest. Here is Christian Eriksen speaking after his goal-scoring return for Denmark in Amsterdam.
Yeah, no, it's always been a lovely place, and even after today, it's an even more special place for me to be back here and play my first international game again in this stadium. It's a lovely feeling. I was happy the ball came to me, and of course it was a lovely finish. And to start a comeback in international like this is, of course, the perfect way.
That's Danish soccer star Christian Eriksen after his goal-scoring return to international football. Harry Kane netted the winner from the penalty spot as England sealed a 2-1 comeback victory over Switzerland in a friendly match played at Wembley. England manager Gareth Southgate shared his thoughts on the match.
We've had a very difficult week to prepare and lots of changes in ideas, but it was good for us to see some new players. We put some experienced players around them. We felt that was the best way to go, and we knew we had some strength on the bench to come into the game as the game wore on.
England defender Luke Shaw also discussed the three Lions' performance.
I think in this formation, Gareth and Steve obviously want the wing backs to get more higher. Not just create chances, but, you know, scoring more goals. And, you know, thankfully today I could do that. And hopefully there'll be many more to come.
That's English defender Luke Shaw speaking after the Three Lions beat Switzerland at Wembley. Ireland, the team ranked 49th in the world by FIFA, forced a 2-2 draw against Belgium, the team currently first in the world in a match that was played at the Aviva Stadium. Irish winger of Nigerian descent Chidozie Ogbene and Alan Brown scored for Ireland, while Belgian speedster of Congolese descent Michy Batshuayi and Hans Vanaken both scored for the Red Devils. Belgian boss Roberto Martinez shared his thoughts on the match.
It was a wonderful atmosphere and a game that I thought it brought a special feeling for both sets of players. A friendly international level, sometimes you don't know what you're going to get. But today we had a very competitive game, the two teams with a very similar desire to press high, to create chances. And I'm sure that Stephen and myself, we're not going to be happy with the goals that we conceded. But I think all in all, it's been a really good exercise.
Island manager Stephen Kenny provided insights on his team's performance.
I thought it was end-to-end, really, overall. I'm disappointed with the two goals that we conceded, both goals. But to have the sort of determination and the quality to come back and score the two goals that we did is hugely, hugely encouraging. And I don't think, certainly to win the game would not have flattered us at all.
Then silent manager Stephen Kenny sharing his thoughts after his side's draw against Belgium at the Aviva Stadium. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince.
The Basketball Africa League is back. Voice of America joins forces with Africa's Premier Men's Basketball League to bring you the second season of the BAL. 38 games, 12 teams leaving it all on the court in Senegal, Egypt and Rwanda to determine the 2022 season champion. Tune in to VOA 24/7, FMs and to our radio and TV affiliates for some action. Pre-game, play-by-play, post-game, daily highlights, delivered by our finest commentators. Basketball Africa League 2022 on Voice of America. May the best team win.
Basketball Africa League 2022 resumes April 9th when 2021 champion Zamalek of Egypt will host Cobra Sport of South Sudan in Cairo. Ahead of the 2022 season, the league announced its Ball Elevate program. The project placed one NBA Academy Africa player with each of the 12 league teams. Basketball Africa League President Amadou Gallo Fall tells us more about the program.
This is a program that we're very proud of because, you know, it gives us an opportunity to continue to link the work that is being done at NBA Africa with the Basketball Africa League. It's a continuity, you know, because we didn't open the NBA Africa office in 2010 and say, let's start a professional league. You know, for many decades, we focused on grassroots to make the game accessible and creating opportunity for young people to participate in the sport. And then, you know, progressively, we started to be more focused on identifying talent and grooming that talent right here on the continent. So the interest has always been here, right? But we wanted to make sure that now, a young player, no matter where they are from on the continent, if they want to become professional in basketball, they have an opportunity to realize that dream without ever leaving the continent. You know, you have all the grassroots events, the camps and clinics that's being done, and then you have the NBA academies for the elite talent that gets detected, and then that elite talent now gets to play alongside and against the top players who are older than them here on the continent, and that is a further step in their talent maturation. So that's, we're very excited, and plus seeing a lot of these players actually getting playing time on the court, you know, just means that the sky is the limit for the program.
That's Basketball Africa League President Amadou Gallo Fall, and he spoke with VOA in Dakar, Senegal.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. In U.S. men's college basketball, Duke will play North Carolina and Kansas will face Villanova in the Final Four of the NCAA Championship Tournament. Both games will be played Saturday, April 2nd, in the southern U.S. city of New Orleans, Louisiana. Kansas and North Carolina both advanced to the Final Four on Sunday with easy victories. Kansas beat Miami 76-50 in Chicago, Illinois, and North Carolina defeated surprise package St. Peter's, a school based in Jersey City, New Jersey, 69-49 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The AP's Michael Luongo reports from Philadelphia.
North Carolina stormed out of the gates in the first half. They took the NCAA Men's East Regional Championship with an easy 69-49 win over St. Peter's. The Tar Heels scored the first 9 points of the half, then blew the game wide open with a 22-6 run, capped by a basket by Armando Bacot that gave them a 34-13 lead with 3:41 to play in the first half. Bacot had a game-high 20 points.
People kind of pushed North Carolina to the side and saying how we were done and all this and that, and I'm just so glad to make it to the Final Four finally and kind of submit myself.
Brady Manning added 19 for North Carolina, who will face Atlantic Coast Conference and state rival Duke in the Final Four on Saturday. Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. Forward KC Endefo scored 10 points and had 7 rebounds for St. Peter's on Sunday. Endefo was one of several players on St. Peter's with African ties. He was born in Nigeria and came to the United States as an infant with his family. Endefo talks about the team's surprising run in the tournament.
What we did was amazing, and, you know, this is a brotherhood. Words can't describe what we did out there, and, you know, just to be happy for each other, and for us to be the only team to do this, you know, it's just historical, and we're blessed for that.
KC and Defo and the Peacocks of St. Peter's are the first number 15 seed to reach the Elite Eight in the men's NCAA basketball championship tournament. The Jayhawks of Kansas, meanwhile, have a proud basketball pedigree. The team has 3 NCAA national titles and has been runner-up 6 times. On Sunday, Kansas advanced with a 26-point victory over Miami, as we hear now from the AP's David Schuster in Chicago.
The Kansas Jayhawks advanced to the Final Four by winning the Midwest Regional 76-50 over Miami. Trailing by 6 at halftime, Kansas opened the second half with a 25-7 run, and over the final 20 minutes, the run extended to 47-15. Remy Martin came off the bench to score 9 points and was named the tournament's most outstanding player.
My teammates, man, it's really my teammates and coaches, man, just sticking with me through ups and downs and, you know, just instilling more confidence in me.
So far in the NCAAs, the Jayhawks have defeated Texas Southern, Creighton, Providence, and now Miami. And for Kansas, this will be the school's 16th Final Four appearance, and for Coach Bill Self, his 4th appearance.
We had about 2 good plays turn into 4, which turned into 8, which turned into 16. That was about as well as we could play the second half, and you know, these guys earned it. So proud of them, proud for our program. And we need about 4 days off. I can't wait to get to New Orleans.
David Schuster, Chicago.
And that wraps up the March 28th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington.
I get it.
side of sports.